This week on What's Going On with Earl Ingram, we're joined in studio by a very special guest, Mandela Barnes, former Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, former State Assembly Representative, community organizer, national advocate for working families, and longtime champion for equity and social justice. Mandela sits down to talk about his decision to run for governor, why he believes now is the time, what it will take to build a truly competitive gubernatorial race, and how bringing communities together will shape the future of Wisconsin. Don't miss it, airing on all platforms. Follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you find your podcast. Please also like and subscribe so you don't miss the conversation. To What's Going On with Earl Ingram. I'm delighted to have a discussion with a longtime friend and a man who just made a major announcement on yesterday, none other than Mr. Mandela Barnes, who just made an earth-shattering announcement on yesterday that he decided to throw his hat into the ring and to become the governor of the state of Wisconsin. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate you having me. And let me apologize for being a day late, because when I ran for lieutenant governor, I announced on your show back in 2018.
Yeah.
So real excited to be back here.
Well, man, why did you make the decision to run?
I mean, we're in a critical moment. We've been in one for some time, but Donald Trump has made things increasingly worse for working families all across Wisconsin. Costs are rising, grocery prices, utility costs, housing, and it feels as if, I'm not even going to say it feels as if, I'm going to tell you directly, the president is making life harder for working class people in this state and all across the country. He is proven time and time again, he's only out for himself, his family, and other wealthy people just like him. And as our family farmers, our small business owners continue to feel the pinch, whether it's as a result of tariffs, there feels like there's no relief in sight. And we need bold leadership who is not just going to take on Donald Trump, but bold leadership that's going to provide ideas and solutions to move Wisconsin forward. Now, I spent my time as a lawmaker and I spent my time as lieutenant governor fighting to make things better for people all across Wisconsin, fighting to improve quality of life. And that is exactly what I intend to bring to the governor's office if elected.
So what are some of the ideas that you think can bring us out of the malaise that we're in?
Yeah, I mean, we are in a broken system. Like I'm not just gonna sit here and act like it just got bad a couple years ago. Things have been bad for a very long time, and that's why we got to reject the status quo. That's why we have to push for more. That's why we have to fight for better. During my entire, time as lieutenant governor, when I was running for lieutenant governor, I said that better was possible. I still believe that better is possible. After my last race, I said better is possible, which is something I firmly believe deep in my heart. It just takes the political will to do that. But that means we have to close the loopholes that allow the wealthiest in our society to get away without paying their fair share, because that burden falls on middle class, working class households. We have to lower healthcare costs. It is a shame that Wisconsin is one of nine states that has yet to expand our Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. And it's because Republicans in the legislature have continued to play games with people's health. And it feels like it's always, an attack on Milwaukee, an attack on Madison, an attack on cities. Well, these Republicans are doing harm to the people they represent in their districts by not expanding our Medicaid program. And I'm calling for an expansion on the very first day. I'm not just out there campaigning to be governor. I am campaigning to ensure that we have an entirely new legislature come 2027. And with that new legislature, we're looking to bring about real change to Wisconsin.
So I would be remiss if I didn't say there are five other Democrats who are running for this seat, and pushback from many, not just them, who think that you shouldn't be running. Tell us a little bit about why you decided that you're going to run, regardless of what these people are saying, because of what you bring to the table.
For sure. And I'll first say, I got a lot of friends in the race. I respect everybody in this race. I respect everybody's right to be a candidate, to put your name on the ballot, to fight for ideas, to fight for a vision. And that's exactly what I intend to do. And I can't say that this was something I had just been sitting around waiting to do. Who knew what, Governor Eberts, what his decision making was going to be. And I also say I spent my last few years working in organizing. I got back to my roots. been a part of Power to the Polls, led the organization as president. And we've been focused on increasing voter turnout all across the state, but specifically in Milwaukee. As we know, we've had this steep decline in Black voter participation since 2012. It has been our mission, it has been our goal to reverse that trend, and we have done it. Last November's election, Milwaukee had the highest voter turnout, the 50 largest cities in the entire country. And it wasn't just, and it's not just the get out the vote operation. We're talking about year-round organizing, talking about issues, talking about engagement. And because of the work that I have been a part of, I couldn't just sit idly by as things get worse. One, also considering what we need to do to win, having traveled this state extensively. And, you know, like I said, I got a lot of respect for people who are running, but I do bring a different level of experience to this campaign.
So you know, you squeezed us into your very busy schedule this morning. We're really appreciative about it. I only got a couple of minutes with you. What would you say to people who right now think that you're a Democrat? Democrats should clearly delineate the difference between them and the Republicans, and that this should be a war between Democrats and Republicans.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I am a Democrat, a proud Democrat, going to be one, will continue to be one. But I'm not running this campaign based on the fact that I'm a Democrat. And for so long, a lot of people have acted as if being a member of any political party is enough. But if you go out into the real world, people will tell you how they really feel. People will tell you what is really going on in their lives, and that they feel like they've been left behind by both parties, which is something that we have to come to terms with. We have to understand the Democratic Party by far is a better party for working people based on ideas, based on platform. But it's not always exemplified. It's not always put into practice, unfortunately. And a lot of that, you know, like I said, you got Republicans in the legislature who've been making it incredibly difficult to get any sort of beneficial agenda passed. But with that being said, there is a real frustration with Democratic Party and, you know, Democratic leadership in general across the country. We have to come to terms with that. And that's why I said we need bold ideas and bold solutions, not just to take on Donald Trump. That part has to happen. But we have to acknowledge that we are in a crisis when it comes to healthcare and people being put out of their livelihoods, people going into medical debt and medical bankruptcy in many instances. The exceedingly increasing costs in energy and utilities. People are paying more and more every single year just to keep their homes warm. And this is going to be a cold winter, you know, by forecast. How much of people's budget has to go to utility costs? How much of people's budget is having to go to housing costs? Housing is out of control. Homes are unaffordable. Rent is too high. And if we don't have leaders who are, one, going to acknowledge those issues and fight to improve those issues, those conditions, not just saying, hey, I'm a member of this party, vote for me, but saying, hey, this is messed up, let me fix it. And that is always been my mission. That's the goal of this campaign, to right the wrongs, to fix the problems that we have that exist in Wisconsin, and provide a real example of leadership for the rest of the country.
So last thing I'll ask you is, you're from an urban reality. You've traveled around rural Wisconsin. How different are the issues in rural Wisconsin and in urban Wisconsin? And are they one and the same?
So I'll tell you, born and raised in Milwaukee, proud product of public schools, and still live in Milwaukee. And as I travel the state, and I've traveled the state as an elected official, I've traveled the state out of office as an organizer, as a private citizen. And the one glaringly obvious part, or what became glaringly obvious to me, is that the issues are actually, they're all the same. And there are bad faith politicians, many of them on the Republican side of the aisle, that only seek to employ the politics of division, only want us to dislike each other because they don't have ideas. They aren't bringing anything new to the table. They aren't trying to solve the problems or combat the crises. They just want to divide communities, because that's how they pick apart votes and ultimately see electoral success. But as I travel, as I talk to people, it's the same exact thing. And it's not even left or right in most of those instances. It's top and the bottom. It's about who has and who doesn't have anything. And people ultimately want, just like their schools to send their children to, people want their jobs to put food on the table. People want to be able to afford the home that they live in, and people want to be able to go to a doctor and not have the fear over their head that they're going to lose everything just because they got sick, or just because they had an accident, or just because, you know, something happened with their children. And that's just, it's not fair. And we have to be more aggressive in the way that we confront this reality that is unfortunately doomed for so many people.
So the last thing I want to ask you is, when you kind of look at the possibility that the Democrats can win back the legislature, how critically important is that? Say you become the governor. The fact that the Democrats have this possibility of winning back the legislature, those two things could really change the dynamic in the state.
For sure. And I'll say, you know, that you can have the best ideas, but the question is, are you going to fight for them? Are you going to show up for them? Are you going to see it all the way through? Are you going to truly represent the people of the state? Like, by and large, most people are not happy. Most people are frustrated. Most people are dealing with some kind of challenge, be it large or small. And fighting for a new makeup of the legislature, it is going to require us, it is going to require legislative candidates to be able to clearly articulate, clearly discuss, and clearly communicate with the voting public that things do not have to be the way they are. And people are going to have to look potential voters, potential constituents in the eye and say, I'm here. I'm going to fight for you. I hear what you're going through. I see what you're going through. And I don't like it either. And we're going to make change together.
So, man, I want to thank you for taking the time out. I know you got a very busy schedule. Make sure this won't be the last time.
For sure. It definitely won't be the last time. Always a good time with you. And thank you for having me again. It wasn't the first day of the campaign. It was the first interview.
I know. All right, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Good luck. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
That's candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes.